Welcome to another exciting edition of Thought Police with me, Mike Graham, and him, Kevin O'Sullivan. We've had quite a busy week, Kev.
Sure as hell.
Once again, we're recording this probably slightly later than we were meant to, but it's getting a bit more difficult every day to do it because there's so much going on at the moment. So we apologise if you were waiting for this and you didn't get it until Friday, but hopefully you will get it on Friday.
Yeah, normal service will be resumed
at some point.
This is the week of the Tory conference.
Tory party conference.
Up to our neck in Conservative crap.
Yes, and there has been quite a lot of it, hasn't there?
Yeah, I mean, these conferences are always a weird spectacle because politicians are fucking deep space weirdos.
They are weirdos,
so
aren't they?
Strange.
Do you know what I'd completely forgotten about? Because now we've had the Rishi Sunak experience and the fucking Penny Mordaunt
experience. Hi, guys.
Yeah, hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Yeah, I've got an idea. Let's kill the HS2. Yeah, okay, then.
We can still win the election.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
I want to see change. All right, then, bugger off. No, yeah. Not that sort of change. Yeah. I want to see the kind of change that keeps me where I am.
I mean, that's not change.
You and I
sort of slightly disagree about his speech. Yeah. I thought it was quite a good speech, but...
Lots of people agree with you. A lot of people do think that.
But to come over to your way of thinking, I know what you're getting at. I mean, what he's standing there saying, you know, this has been wrong. HS2 has been wrong. Everything has been wrong. Yeah. No more status quo politics. I'm the window check. Well, wait a minute. This has all gone wrong under your watch.
Exactly. I mean, that's the thing that's ludicrous about it. Because at the end of the day, you know, change has been redefined now.
Yeah.
I mean, they've redefined a lot, the Tory party. They've never redefined the word change to mean actually not change.
Yeah.
Don't change at all. Don't change anything.
How the fuck can
he hasn't even reshuffled the cabinet.
How the fuck can Rishi Sunak paint himself as the candidate for change? He's the man in charge.
Exactly. He was also the Chancellor of the Exchequer when Boris Johnson was in charge.
Yeah.
And he's been in the cabinet for a long time.
Yeah, he presided over something like 14 tax hikes.
Yeah.
And continues.
That was all down to him. And he had the gall on his speech this week to say he wanted to lower taxes.
Yeah.
Well, really? Well, just do it then. You know, if only you were able to, if you were the Prime Minister, to lower taxes. Well, get on with it then.
Yeah, yeah. If only you had a job where you could do something about the taxes. Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You're the Prime Minister.
That's it.
You could.
Because what I was going to say was that we've already forgotten about the early part of the conference where Liz Truss was suddenly the darling of the party floor and everybody wanted to go and shake her hand and say what a brilliant job she'd done. These are the same... I mean, the Tories, you have to say, are about the most two-faced people, I think, in the fucking history of the world. Because these are the same people who forced her out. Who said, well, we can't have that. We don't want you there. You're making a rock bodge of it, you know. You've completely wrecked the economy. I happen to agree with some of the things she said.
I agree with lots of what she said.
And there's lots of people that still, on the right side of the party, say that she should never have resigned. But she kind of had to, because it was a dog's dinner.
Yeah.
And she didn't do it right.
Yeah, and she chucked her mate Kwasi Kwarteng under the bus at that point.
Didn't see much of him this week.
Yeah, I don't think he was even there. However... Liz Truss's fringe event at the Tory conference up there in Manchester was, I'm assured, the only sellout event of the week. It was standing room only.
Yeah.
She was treated like a fucking superstar.
Right.
And I'll tell you why. It's because, you know, okay, her problem was she doesn't really live in the real world.
No.
But her policies, her philosophies, her outlook is true blue Tory.
Yeah.
Low taxes, small...
I think she's quite thoughtful. And I think the problem is she comes, like as you say, there are a million miles of weirdness in all politicians, and she just doesn't come across very well.
Yeah.
She comes across as a bit odd, doesn't she?
Yeah, but
she's obviously not stupid.
I'll tell you what you wouldn't get under Liz Truss. You wouldn't get this sort of nanny state smoking ban that Rishi Sunak
tried to
bring in.
But you that's crap anyway. How is he going to ban smoking? Is he having a laugh?
Yeah, he's just saying
it's like saying you're going to ban cannabis next,
well,
really.
You know, it's this sort
good luck
of,
with that.
Yeah, well, it's got, what it is like if you were born... Before 2008, you can smoke. If you were born after 2008, you can't.
Yeah, but
so if you
were, will, if you want to.
Yeah, I don't smoke anymore.
When did you have your first cigarette?
I'll tell you how old I was when I first tried to give up.
Right.
11. It was my first attempt to give.
Funnily enough,
so I think I started about 10.
That's around about the same time I did, because we lived in, you know, my parents had a flat in Hampstead, and it was quite a small flat. And my sister and I, and my mother used to smoke like a chimney. My dad actually gave up when I was about 12, so he must have still been smoking then. And my mum used to smoke Peter Stuyvesant.
I remember those.
Gold packet. And my sister.
The guy who invented New York.
Yeah, he was a Dutchman, wasn't
he? Yeah, yeah.
I don't even know if they still make them. Anyway, so we kind of sneaked off into the kitchen while they were watching something on Saturday. It was a Saturday night. And it's so stupid, aren't you? So we lit these cigarettes up.
Yeah, I want to be like mum and dad.
Yeah, smoking away. And then suddenly we heard footsteps, you know, coming down the hallway. And we went, oh, shit. So do you know what we did? Put the cigarettes behind our backs and stood there.
Well, smoke coming out the top of your fucking head.
Pretending.
Are you on
and
fire?
And my mother's going, are you smoking? No, absolutely not. No, of course not. No. And she's like, well, I can see the smoke. And right, okay then. Don't smoke. And that was it. And then I didn't really smoke properly until I was about 16.
It's when you see kids, to this day you still see it, kids trying to smoke. And you think, that's the weird conundrum about smoking. I can remember when I started because, you know, I looked at my dad and I looked at grown-ups and cool kids who all smoke. Right. I wanted to smoke.
And people smoked in the movies and stuff as well.
And it's so fucking hard to start smoking because it's horrible. You have to really work at it and then you become addicted. Yeah. So you see these fucking kids starting to smoke and you go, don't do that. In 20 years, you won't be able to fucking stop.
And I suppose that's what Rishi Sunak's trying to get at, right? But again, I don't know that many people that smoke anymore, and I certainly don't know that many young people that smoke. And so the result of what he might do might be happening anyway. Yeah. Because, you know, like, if, you know, I don't smoke, so my kids won't be following my example in smoking.
Yeah, well, the way I see it with Rishi Sunak, it's none of your fucking business whether or not people smoke. You know, this is more nanny statism. Rishi Sunak should be aware that Tories are supposed to be for small government. Stop sticking your fucking nose into every aspect of our lives, telling us we can't smoke, can't drink too much, mustn't eat sugary foods, mustn't eat fatty foods. What the fuck has it got to do with you? I'm an adult, I make my own decisions, and if I want to live an unhealthy life, that's fucking up to me.
But of course you've got these virtue signalers now who have turned everything into, but it's for the good of the community, because, you know, you shouldn't be taking up a bed space in the NHS because you've had a bad life and you haven't looked after
yourself. I paid my fucking taxes.
Well, you've paid your fucking taxes. Some people who have looked after themselves all their lives end up in the NHS.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, through no fault of their own.
You're right.
So there's no guarantees, I'm afraid, in life, that just because you live a virtuous life and you never get any diseases that you won't end up in hospital. Because you never know, do you?
Yeah, but also, if I want to smoke and drink heavily and eat fatty foods and sugary drinks, that's up to me. And if I end up in hospital, I pay my fucking taxes. Yeah. Treat me. It isn't my job to protect the NHS. It's the NHS's job to fucking cure me, to treat me.
Well, I've got some bad news for you. Because if you're expecting them to fucking treat you, you won't be lucky.
Yeah. Because the NHS is shit.
Yeah, they're not actually treating anybody. And they've been in the news this week, haven't they? Because they've decided that the male menopause is a thing. And if you're in the male menopause, I don't even know what fucking male menopause is. If it means that you get hot flushes and you get grumpy and you can't have sex with anybody anymore, I have no idea what they're talking
about. As far as I can work out, it's if you're a bloke, you get tits.
Yeah.
And nobody wants that. You know.
Well, that depends on who's wearing them, I suppose.
Well, no, I don't want blokes with tits.
Oh, I see.
I certainly don't want to be a bloke with tits.
No, you certainly don't.
But the male menopause, you know, is a theory.
But you get a year off in the
NHS. A load of doctors will say there's no such thing.
Right.
This is the, I think it's the East Midlands Ambulance Service.
Right.
Which, in fairness, as opposed to the rest of the country, in fairness, they do give women time off for menopausal problems.
Okay.
And I do actually...
Well, that's fair enough. I mean, women do have a menopause.
Yeah, but the national policy is, and this isn't just the NHS, this is the policy of Great Britain, that female menopausal problems are not a cause for taking any time off work. I think that's wrong, actually.
Yeah.
But men, male menopause, fuck off. Get to fucking work with your tits.
Brings out all you meaning to. I'll bring it off my tits tonight.
Wobble your tits.
Are you having some kind of menopause at the moment? For fuck's sake. But, you know, the whole idea of this Tory party conference was that we were supposed to see, you know, Rishi Sunak emerging as somebody that might win the next election. Next week, you've got to put up with bloody Labour.
Oh, God.
Keir Starmer, which does not fill me with anything other than fucking dread, to be honest.
Where are they going? Are they going
they're in Liverpool.
Oh, God.
You know. Home of the Labour Party. Well, home of the Labour Party. We should mention, by the way, that lots of people were rejoicing it last weekend because Liverpool got stuffed up by Spurs. Because of the VAR decision that went wrong. I mean, I don't know how they managed to get that so wrong, but they're now claiming that the guy who was supposed to be the judge of it, who was looking into the screens or whatever, had been to Saudi Arabia for some ludicrous amount of money and was too tired to see what was going on. Well, hang on a minute. How the fuck does that happen?
What he thought was that they'd allowed the goal, but there'd been an appeal, so there was a VAR check.
Right.
He looked at it and said, yeah, that's a valid goal. Check over.
Right.
Which means... but in fact... what he didn't realise, he should have been checking the fact that they'd been disallowed.
Right.
So when they say check over, that means the decision stands. The point about all of this shit is, you know, VAR, the VAR is this kind of drive towards the impossible that we will eradicate all, all human error.
Right.
Well, guess what? It turns out that VAR is just another area where there can be human error.
Well, there's always going to be human error as long as there's humans involved.
I mean, exactly right.
If a human is looking at something, it doesn't matter whether he's looking at it with his bare eyes or is, you know, in the moment, as it were.
Yeah.
I mean, football is so quick now that I would guarantee you that no referee can see everything. But if you're looking at it on a video screen, it's easier. But it's not perfect. But it's not perfect, is it?
It's not perfect. Now, VAR is this kind of... it's an impossible dream. We will eradicate all mistakes. No, you fucking won't.
Yeah.
In fact, we're finding out if it's actually responsible for
it. It's like spell check, isn't it? If you have spell check, everybody goes, well, there's no reason why you should now write something and spell it wrongly. Well, actually, there is, because spell check not only checks the spelling of things, it fucking changes them. Yeah. And it sometimes changes the word altogether.
Yeah.
You know? So if you rely simply on spell check to get everything right, you'll get it fucking wrong as well.
I sent an, you know Jerry Hosier, don't you?
Yeah.
I sent an email to her once and spell checked it. So her first name is G-E-R-I. And I didn't notice it. So I checked, oh yeah, it's done all the, didn't check the name. So it said, Dear Germ.
I sent a note to somebody once, right? And I can't remember what the word was that I was about to say, but it wasn't what it came out as. That's
a funny thing.
It was, do you fancy a something or other? And it went through as fuck, right? And luckily, it was a woman, friend of mine, right? But she was like, sorry?
Yeah.
I'm like, fucking hell, I didn't mean to send you that. It was something like, do you fancy a... I can't remember what it was, but...
Do you fancy a fuck? We're work, Collie.
Hey, listen, here's a great fucking story that I told.
Because she said yes, by the way, wouldn't it? But result.
Yeah, it would have been. I'd go, before, I'd be right over. Yeah, I should try that. Sorry, I'll sit there back.
Yeah, just send her that message, and then if she goes, that's really insulting. Sorry, spell check.
Yeah, spell check. Yeah, of course, you see, you can't... But now you can't send anything to anybody that's in any way fucking suggestive unless you're already shagging them.
Otherwise, it's
a fucking nightmare. By the way, I got a great fucking story for you. I don't know if I've told you this yet. One of the guys here, I'll tell you later who it is, it doesn't really matter, came up to me the other day, and he said, one of the new guys, he's like... did you ever work in a bakery? And I said, yeah.
Said,
it's a very weird question, this. I said, yeah, actually, I talk about it quite a lot, because in Lewis Patisserie in Hampstead, which is still there.
Still there.
And I went there in my sort of formative years.
I always think of you every time I walk past.
Absolutely, yeah. And he said, my wife's got an auntie, and when I said I was coming to work at Talk TV, she said, oh, great. She said, you'll be able to meet Mike Graham. I love Mike Graham, love his show, and he went, yeah, he said she's bedbound now, this auntie woman, and she says, oh, I love listening to Mike Graham, I love his show, and, you know, I used to know him, and I said, really, okay, and he said, she says she used to work there as well, right, and you went out with her, and I went, what? So I'm, of course, sitting there waiting for the fucking other shoe to drop. She's going to say, you're a rat bastard, you know. And she interfered with me or something. And apparently, the most surprising bit of all of it was, she said, you went out a couple of times, and she said, you were really nice.
Well, blimey.
So I said, you sure
changed.
It was me?
You changed.
I said, what's her name? And he went, Stella. And I went, I don't remember a Stella at all. I have no idea of anybody. There's no name Stella coming to me. I mean, you, like me, I'm sure, had loads of people you went out with as a form, you know. I was 17, apparently.
Yeah, yeah.
And when I was 17, I know I had a girlfriend called Teresa, who I switched to another girl called Annabella. At some point or other, she went on holiday and I started fucking her best friend, you know, one of those. They both went to Catholic school, of course. But anyway, I don't remember Stella at all. So I said, you've got to bring in a picture of this woman when she was 17. And then I said, by the way, I'm slightly concerned that a woman I used to go out with is now bedridden.
Yeah, I was, you know, so I was thinking, you're at that age, former birds are now bedridden.
I had another experience like that yesterday.
You haven't seen it?
I haven't seen it, so it's still a kind of bit of a mystery to me. But there was definitely there were girls that worked at the sort of shop end of the business who were always good for a night out kind of thing.
Yeah,
but I am pretty sure that nothing, you know, untoward happened between us.
Yeah. So this is the girl. It's a very early date of mine. You know, when you get all excited when you're about like 13 or something. So this girl that I fancied, and she said, "Yeah, I'll come out with you." So I took her to the fun fair. And
that's
how,
a good
how can I forget her name? Thelma Pratt. That was her fucking name.
Brilliant.
But she's a good looking girl. Yeah. Anyway, we went to the fun fair. And I was a bit trepidatious about it because I've never been any good on fun fair.
No.
So we went on the octopus.
Oh,
thing.
God, I know what
you're
saying.
And it went round and round and round. And I was going on fucking out. Every time I go on the octopus, I'm not going to get to the end of the run. I go, oh, God, I'm feeling so sick. So we get to the end of the run. Oh, thank God. And you know, like sometimes if they've got a bit you get a free ride.
Yeah.
So we get to the end of the ride, the fucking thing starts up again. Anyway, to cut a long story short, my romance with Thelma Pratt ended when I puked all over her.
Yeah, I mean, it's later in life that you realise these are things not to do when you're on a first date. But anyway, listen, so I'll update you all when I find out.
Yeah, we've got to find out all Stella, about Stella. Should we talk about, you know, from Stella to the Vatican?
The Pope's gone woke.
That's not much of a link, but there you go.
Yeah, that'll do. The Pope's gone woke.
Yeah, the Pope goes woke. Pope Francis. I mean, what a fucking load of bollocks he's talking.
Is this the Argentinian guy still?
Well,
it is, isn't it?
Is that where he's from?
Yes,
yeah, I think you're
right. He's the guy that was involved with football, because he was a...
No.
He's not... the Polish one's gone, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure
there's the one that retired.
That's the German
one. Who's still around.
There was the German one who flew out on a helicopter, remember?
Yeah.
He was the one that was associated with some unusual things in the past.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing about popes, they come and go. You can hardly tell the difference between any of them. But this one has just made a speech. Sorry to all the Catholics.
Yeah.
I was just being facetious.
Bless you, Father.
Holy Father, holy crap. What a fucking speech this guy made.
Right.
So anyway, he's made his... He's caught climate change emergency disease. So, we've got to do something about carbon net zero. Everybody's got to change their lifestyle. So he blames Western lifestyle.
What does he mean by that?
For, the climate change... The alleged climate change emergency. There isn't a climate change emergency. So he says that in per capita, so per every person in America, he says, produces two times more carbon emissions than people in China. So what he's basically saying is the climate change emergency, the alleged climate change.
What does he know about it?
Yeah, well, exactly. He's saying it's America's fault. It's us in the West, not wonderful China.
Has he
fucking read up about this story?
Yeah, but you know what he'll be doing? He'll be doing that thing that all of these fucking wankers in Just Stop Oil do, which is that, you know, we've transferred our carbon footprint to China because everything they make is for us. Therefore, it's apparently our fault.
Yeah, horseshit.
What a load of bollocks.
They spew 28% of the world's carbon emissions into the air. They are the worst polluters on the face of the planet.
No, I know, but he'll say, I bet you any money, he will say, because they're making stuff for the American market and for us, so therefore it's actually...
Well, we don't have to fucking do that.
So we should take ownership of
bullshit,
it.
Bullshit. But talking of climate change and... helping to save the planet. All those pop stars and those famous people, members of the royal family, who fly around on private jets, but offset their jet travel by buying trees, planting trees. Well, it turns out that that's a load of old bollocks.
Who knew? I mean, it's one of the greatest rackets Coldplay. I've known to man. Coldplay, our favourite story, Chris Martin bought a load of trees.
Like a forest.
Planted a fucking
forest. So the band could go all over the world.
So the band could go all over the world. Planted a forest in Sri Lanka and it fucking caught fire because it was too hot. And the fucking stuff was burned to the ground.
Causing a lot of carbon emissions.
Yeah, causing an awful lot of black smoke to be hurtling up into the fucking clouds.
Yeah,
but of course, I mean, some people are very clever in this business, right, in this world, because if you started up a carbon offsetting company, which a lot of people have done, and you basically go and befriend people like Elton John, fucking Prince Harry and all this, they'll go, oh, have a load of money. So you pay them to do this for you, right? So these guys are making a fortune. While idiots like Elton John are flying around on private jets. Remember, I think Elton John...
He offset
Harry and Meghan.
That's right.
Trip somewhere, didn't he?
Yeah, he gave Harry and Meghan a trip in... I'm not sure if it was his private jet, but it was a private jet.
I think it was his.
that he was using,
right.
And announced that this wouldn't destroy the planet because he'd made sure it was offset carbon-wise.
Yeah.
So now you know, Elton, what you actually did is you made the planet worse.
Yeah, and also some guy gave money to some guy to do something which didn't actually work.
Yeah, it just doesn't work. It's a waste of time. It doesn't work. What was it ever about? It's about these rich, privileged motherfuckers assuaging their own guilt. So they're able to say that, oh, when you get, you normal people, when you get on your passenger jet to Spain, Viola, you ruin the planet.
Yes.
I don't, because I paid for some trees to be planted.
I mean, just ludicrous.
Fuck off. Absolutely ridiculous.
Overprivileged wankers who think that they can assuage their guilt by doing stuff like that.
Yeah, it's just bullshit. It really is bullshit. You know, and also, whole companies were set up, which were like carbon offset units.
Yeah.
Where
it's like a license to print money.
Yeah, the agencies.
You go to really rich people. I mean, you wouldn't even know, would you? If you were Elton John, they went, yeah, don't worry, Elton, we planted about 1,000 trees in the Amazon for you. Okay, great. They might not fucking do it.
I would set one of these agencies and take all their fucking money.
Yeah.
Yeah, Elton, don't worry. Yeah.
Here's a picture.
Hey, Coldplay. Yeah, we've planted a fucking load
it's
of
like
trees.
My sister, right? My
and
sister.
Then just bank the money.
Yeah. My sister, who was just here, who still smoked, by the way, she used to have this fucking adopted wolf that lived somewhere in the fucking Canadian tundra, and she paid this money every month. I said, how do you even know there is a fucking wolf, right? The fucking wolf probably doesn't exist. You pay money to some fucking cunt who lives up in the fucking, basin of
fucking Grizzly Adams.
Manitoba or something, right? You're going, oh, great, another fucking check's come from Mari.
Yeah.
Let's go out. I'm like, have you ever met the fucking wolf? I've got a picture of it.
She goes,
I've got a picture of the wolf. Here he is.
I've got some swampland in Florida to sell your sister.
I think she even had a fucking name for it. I'm like, are you going to go visit this fucking wolf? No. I mean, unbelievable.
Lovely lady, your sister. But
she got more money than sense, though.
But maybe a little naive on some of these issues.
Well, I think she likes to do good things.
Yeah, like all
people.
Great.
Unfortunately, like all people who like to do good, they get conned by people who just take advantage of them.
Yeah, I mean, on that issue, just got me thinking that my parents...
I mean, I don't get conned. I don't want to do
My parents, God rest their soul, my dad died.
Yeah.
So then my mum was like all over the place with her finances and everything. So we went through her bank account to try and sort everything out. And it was my dad's account as well. Fucking hell. The amount of charities and fucking good causes.
Oh, they get their hooks
into it. They had all these fucking direct debits amounting to hundreds of pounds every month. And they couldn't really afford it.
But this is
the
thing. This is where these...
They watch the telly and they've all
these,
got
and also these telemarketing people. And once they've got you on their fucking list, you've got no chance.
Yeah.
You know, whenever I used to go to my sister's place in Connecticut, the phone would invariably ring when she was out or something. I mean, I don't know if it does so much anymore because she still had a landline. And it was always the fucking Democratic National Committee, you know, looking for money.
Yeah.
And I used to say things like, no, she's dead. Don't call back. Fuck off. She's dead. She just literally just died in front of me, you know. Oh, my God, I'm so sorry.
She's pushing up daisies. Sorry, you know. Mate. Yeah.
But she said to me, she gave them money once because it was some campaign or other that Clinton was involved in. But they don't stop bothering her. She still gets calls to this day. She doesn't give them any more money anymore, but they still fucking call.
Well, that's... I mean, that's how charities operate. If you give money to charity, and if you do, you're a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
But what they do is they take all the money they get, they spend about 60% of it on TV advertising to get you
and
to give more.
And they spend another 30% on themselves.
On themselves, you know. Why has Oxfam got 22 people earning more than £100,000 a year? What's charitable about
that? Not very charitable.
Fucking joke. You give money to charity, you're pissing it up the fucking wall.
Yeah, exactly.
You really are. So don't give any money to any charities unless they absolutely vow that every single penny goes to the good cause. Because most charities, you're talking about 12% of the money they get actually goes to the cause they're supposed to support. And as you say...
I mean, I'm very much more in favour of like local charities.
I remember
I did a thing for Epilepsy Scotland, which is actually quite a big charity. But that was, you know, like a charity fundraiser. I got involved in it and I gave them some money. Because I thought, you know, that's a pretty good cause because it's pretty direct. But things like Oxfam and sort of Red Cross and Save the Children, they're so huge, multinational companies. I mean, I had a guy ringing up the other day complaining about Medecins Sans Frontières, because he's been giving money to them for years. He said, I noticed that they're one of the people that are operating a boat service in the Mediterranean to bring the fucking migrants over to Italy, because they've all got boats now.
Yeah.
And you're going, hang on a minute, what are you doing that for?
Yeah, do you know the richest charity in Britain? It's sort of the donkey appeal.
Is it?
Because they do really good emotive adverts, so everybody wants to save a poor little donkey.
Right.
So... You know,
well, animal charities generally do well, don't they?
Yeah, and I'm all for. I would be all for animal charities as long as I was guaranteed that all the money went to the animals, to the welfare of the animals. But charities, they're a racket. They're a fucking racket.
Well, do you know what? One of the things I think that's changed the face of London, in particular, is the number of people who are now working for big charities in the city, because you can see it. And I know that whether there's a couple of big headquarters sort of in and around Covent Garden, around the Strand, that sort of area. And all the people, they're all getting paid well, you know, 50, 60,000 a year. I'm not even talking about the ones that are making six-figure salaries. But they're all obviously getting paid very well. They're all a bit sort of socialist, champagne socialist types. They're all working for charity. You know, it's all very trendy.
We're really good people.
It's almost, it's like the new advertising. Virtuous. Do you remember when there used to be loads of people in the advertising business that we would meet because we were in newspapers?
Yeah.
We fucking always hated them. They were always the sort of Flash Harry types. This lot are the kind of, are the antithesis of that, because they're sort of, you know, they're all very virtuous and they're very nice
hair
people.
Shirt
and they're very good people and they do good for everybody else. But they make a bloody fortune
working
for an international charity.
They're doing very nicely, thank you. Mm. Absolutely.
Yeah. Talking of animals, have you heard the latest news on Commander? You know, the beast of the White
House. Wait, you mean Biden's vicious dog? Yeah. His German Shepherd.
Doesn't matter what you call it.
Yeah. He's attacked 11 Secret Service
apparently
agents.
He's been, in their words, removed
from
the White
House. Has he?
Yeah.
Has he?
And I said, well, when somebody told me this, I said, well, they obviously missed the trick. They should have kept the fucking dog there and removed Biden.
Well, that's
taking him out the fucking
make a better president than that old cunt.
Yeah. Doesn't matter what you call it.
Yeah. It does, actually, Joe.
There were some very funny clips this week from Trump and Biden, because Trump's been back in court. Did you see that they chucked out something like 90% of that lawsuit in New York, which is not even a criminal lawsuit. It's a civil action being taken by the fucking Southern District Attorney of the Southern District of New York.
Yeah.
A completely kind of just bullshit case saying, he was overrating the
his own wealth.
Own wealth. He said Mar-a-Lago was worth more than it was. Well, I mean, how is that a fucking offence?
No, but this is what it's about. I mean, technically, if you dig down into it, if the allegations against him are true, there is a kind of offence there. It's fraud.
How is he benefiting?
However, check this out. This is what happened. It's relating to a series of loans that he took out for his various building projects around the States, right? And he stands accused of exaggerating his wealth in order to get lucrative loans, you know, at a good interest rate, right? So if he did that is actually technically an offence. But here's the deal. He borrowed all his money. Mm. Every fucker he borrowed the money from has been completely paid back.
Yeah.
None of the people he borrowed money from have complained.
Right.
A lot of it came from Deutsche Bank.
Right.
And yet the Democrat legal system is going for him on an offence that makes no sense at all. He borrowed money. He paid everyone back with interest. Mm. Everybody's happy. In come the Democrat judges.
Yeah.
Let's get the cunt.
Right. Well, I mean, he used those words, didn't he, when he was talking about the Biden administration, where he was like, they've cooked up these charges, they've tried to make them stick, most of them have been thrown out already very early on in the case. And he said that, obviously, the conversation with the Biden administration was, you know, we can't beat Trump, so let's indict the motherfucker.
Those
were his words. It actually went out at a press conference.
And these dozy Democrat twats are completely bemused, because the more they try to tangle him up in lawsuits to undermine him as a candidate for the president, the more popular he becomes. He cannot lose the Republican nomination. Mm. He is going to be the next candidate.
Yeah.
And a lot of people say, well, he won't win. He won't beat Biden. I think he'll fucking thrive.
I think he will. No, absolutely right. I think they're going to have to come up with another plan, the old Democrats, because at the moment, their plan to keep him out of the race because he's going to be somehow fucking embroiled in legal problems, clearly isn't working.
Yeah, and of course the Democrats absolutely have to ditch Biden somehow or other, but they don't know how to do it. I'm standing.
Yeah. Well, that makes a change. You don't fall down. Outstanding.
Outstanding for some of the time.
What was the other one he did this week where he couldn't fucking... He just... He tried... The conversation...
Oh, yeah, yeah. He just trailed off.
Anyway.
And he has this fucking thing where he's halfway through a sentence and his eyes come down. Yeah, right. You know, he falls asleep.
Yeah.
He's the fucking guy who's senile.
It really is incredibly
fucking joke.
Embarrassing. I mean, people that I know, and I'm sure you still know people who live over there, are just fucking appalled that he's even still
the president. It's a joke.
He shouldn't be the president.
If he fucking stands, Donald Trump is the next president of America.
Which would be brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, I really want that to happen. He wasn't the most brilliant president. It wasn't a disaster. He was actually very reserved.
Well, I'll tell you what, the world was a much less dangerous place when he was in charge, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it was much more fun.
Right. Fucking right.
He's a good laugh. The final word about HS2?
Oh, man. I mean, what the fuck were they thinking, is all I can say. Yeah. I mean, I don't even now know what they're doing. I think they're running it from Birmingham to London, but I'm not sure if they're using the tunnel that they built. Because, you know, I discovered this only this week. That actually 95% of the route from London to Birmingham is in a fucking tunnel.
Yeah.
Because all the residents said we don't want a fucking train going past. So they've at the huge expense.
Especially with 180 billion fucking quid.
At a huge expense, they've had to bury this fucking tunnel and put the track through it. They still haven't got any trains. But it also means, presumably, if you're working, there's no fucking signal in a tunnel.
Good point.
You won't be able to, you know, have any Wi-Fi. Yeah. You won't be able to get, unless they've got a special fucking reason for doing it. It's an absolute fucking...
But think about it.
Dog shit.
You know, it is. It's supposed to be the sort of Y-shaped backbone that would connect all of Britain and take us, you know, racing into the 23rd century. In the end, we've ended up with about 95 miles of pointless railway from some shithole in the west of London and called Old Oak Common or something.
And apparently all the fucking things that Rishi announced that were going to be built in the north of England, you know, these new railway lines or the revamping old ones have been shut down. That's all been taken off the website because apparently half of it can't fucking happen because they can't afford to do
So he did a double reverse ferret at the conference saying, yes, I am axing the Manchester branch, having already axed the Leeds branch. So there's no backbone. 98 miles of shit, useless track to get you not from London to not Birmingham. Brilliant. That's it. And anyway, so at the conference, he says, yes, I'm axing it. Hi, guys. I'm axing it, but I am going to spend 36 billion quid linking the East to the west of the east of northern, you could call it the northern network. And then he starts, did you hear the speech? He starts going, you'll be able to get to Bradford in 32 minutes, to Leeds in 44 minutes, and to Hull in 82 minutes. Who the fuck ever wants to go to Hull anyway?
Well, I was going to say, I mean, you might want to get away from it. You don't want to fucking go there.
As I keep saying, the only reason for that would be to get a return ticket. Yeah, so you can say I went to Hull and back. But then he starts going on about all the roads he's going to improve.
Yeah.
Now,
M6.
Yeah, no, so all of us in the south go, what's he fucking... The A46, the A52, what the fuck are you on about? I've never heard of these roads.
Also, the other one, which I actually took the chance to look up yesterday, because I was getting a bit bored, the Don Valley Railway. Apparently, he's going to fucking bring that back, right?
Yeah.
Now, this is something they shut in 1970. It goes somewhere in Yorkshire to somewhere else in Yorkshire.
Yeah.
And it was revamped by some train enthusiast, so you can tell what it's fucking like. Maybe like fucking Thomas the Tank Engine or something. Yeah, yeah. And it only runs between a sort of a coal depot and a steelworks. What's the fucking point? Nobody needs it. Nobody wants it. And also, as somebody said to me on the text yesterday, never mind fucking making the trains more busy. He said he's going to quadruple the fucking the trains going up and down the West Coast line. Simon Calder pointed out they've already got 5 trains an hour. So is he going to turn it into 20 trains an hour? No, of course he's not. Nobody fucking uses the trains most of the time anyway. Because they're always on fucking strike.
Yeah, and you know, they're now all saying there's perfectly good trains from Euston to Manchester and Leeds anyway.
When they're not on strike.
Yeah, well, when they're not on strike. But they are perfectly good trains. Yeah. So quite what HS2 was ever for. Of course, it was a Labour idea in 2006.
It was Tony Blair's dream, wasn't
it? That Cameron, like, embraced it.
Of course.
And you know, so he is now, as the man who basically embarked on this fucking scandalous waste of money. He's now saying, Rishi Sunak's made a terrible mistake, HS2 should continue. No, fuck off, yeah. Cameron. Also, fucking great mistake.
Nobody cares what
Own
you think.
It. It's also, your mistake.
Yeah. Also, nobody cares what David Cameron thinks.
Yeah.
He didn't get much
I
right.
never did.
No, he never got much right. He didn't even get fucking Brexit right. He thought he was going to win. And he thought, oh, let's have a fucking referendum because then everyone will vote to stay in it. And they didn't.
Hey, Dave, HS2. Brexit. Yeah, you were really good on all your policies, you wanker.
Absolute twat. Anyway, that's enough out of us, I think, because the time has come to move on.
Yes.
But that'll be the Thought Police. We're sorry to all of you who are on Patreon as well, because we just haven't had time to do anything. And we can't
next week, we'll get back
we
to
promise,
normal.
We promise to do a video next week.
Yeah.
It's got to be done. Meanwhile, don't do anything fucking stupid.
Go fuck yourself.
Go fuck yourself.